News Radio 560 KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
All right, at 12:15, I say good afternoon to you. Michael Knight here in the Agenda Studios and our palatial radio set up here on the Avenue of Dreams here in Wenatchee Town. And today, I ask you, consider this. On the list of things I do not know are many things, many strange items, including assessor. What in the world is an assessor? In fact, I had to spell it three different times before the dictionary even helped me. There are four S's. A-S-S-E-S-S-O-R. So that's a unique spelling just to begin with. Perhaps if I could find an assessor, I would ask them, you, sir, you, miss, are you an assessor? What are you made of? What do you do? How do you do it? Who cares? Who needs this? Who helps you? Who calls in the middle of the night to go over emergency assessor stuff? I'm curious. Are there any places on earth where they have no assessors? They don't need them, etc.? Where are these places? How do we get there? And when you assess something, how long does it take? 10 seconds? More? Less? Perhaps a week? Are you born an assessor or must you train? Is there a mail-order assessor university in Tempe University that trains them by the dozens? Or is it more difficult? Is it a specialized set of skills? Are you, in fact, able to answer yes to any of these loosely fitting quick descriptions? Are you a person who evaluates the quality of a person or a thing? Are you a person who calculates or estimates the price or value of something? Are you a person who is knowledgeable in a particular field and is called upon for advice, typically to be a judge, or to advise a committee, or to advise a group of inquirers? That is the question that we're going to try and answer right now with someone who is a professional assessor, which is different from the amateur type, Deanne Walter, also the candidate for Chelan County Assessor, and the incumbent in that office as well, who will answer these questions. And I'm sorry, Deanne, that I don't know anything about being an assessor, but my ignorance does not only begin and end here. It goes on in all directions to the horizon. So don't feel left out or over-included. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Good.
You work in the assessor's office, so mm-hmm. We know that. I do know assessors have an office. Is it anything like an assay office where you used to bring in your gold to be weighed? They do that?
No.
Okay.
We don't actually take in the payments. We just do the assessments and the levies.
Levies.
Right.
So after you assess something, you levy it?
We calculate the levies based on assessed value for each taxing district. So, yes, we do the levies.
So if I were to buy a piece of property in somewhere in Chelan County, would we eventually meet? You would assess the value of my property?
You would meet one of my staff members, absolutely, because we're out every 4 years doing an on-site inspection, physical inspection. But you would receive what we have dubbed a love letter our office every year.
It's not really a love letter, though, is it? What kind of letter is it?
It's a notice of value. So we're mandated by law back in 2014. All assessments had to be on an annual basis. So we had to go to annual evaluation, basically. So we do 3/4 of the county statistically, and we physically inspect 1/4 of the county every year.
That's a lot of assessing every year.
It is a lot.
Does the price of the value of property always go up, or does it go down?
It does not, and it depends on the market in that area. For example, overall this year, I just looked, and it looks like the county taxable assessed value has increased about $1 billion.
Now we're talking about real money.
Yeah, over the last year, which if every taxing district then was limited to their 1%, and everything was as it was last year, so no values are really going up, none are going down. The market is very, very stable, which it is not right now.
No, it's not.
But
it's
if
volatile,
it was,
I guess.
Yes, then theoretically, the taxes would stay about the same because you've got the increase of the 1% from the taxing districts, and you've got the increase of $1 billion, which is about 1%.
So the 1% you're talking about is a law that prevents everything from going continually just going up at 10-20% at a time.
Yes, that was a legislative. It was an initiative years ago to cap the increase for taxing districts to 1% plus their new construction plus their state assessed utilities.
How do you determine the value of every piece of property in the county? I mean, that's an incredibly crazy job to have.
It is, and it's about a 30-minute conversation, the brief version. But well, I'll give you the cliff notes.
Give me the pretend that I have no intellectual properties whatsoever, and just give me the overview.
Okay, so we value your property in two factions.
Well, I should have asked you to value the property of this building before you came in, but you probably know in your mind, right?
We already have, yeah. So we've got your land value, and the land is always valued as if it's vacant. So we know what vacant lots and acreage sells for. So we figure out your land value, and then we look at your structure value. So all the improvements on the site, any outbuildings, the homes, garages, barns, egg buildings, and we put it kind of on a schedule. It's called the Marshall and Swift. It's a national cost manual. So we build your house, our computer system basically builds your structures at a cost and then adds a market adjustment when we do our market analysis.
And what's the market adjustment?
That's based on your individual market. So the county is divided into, in some years, more areas than others if we can combine the markets. But for example, the Chelan market is very, very different than the market at Three Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
The real estate market. It's different than it is at Lake Wenatchee or in Leavenworth or in Cashmere. So we've divided the county up into market areas. And then when we do our comps for the sales, the comparable sales, we only use homes in that market area, which is a little bit different than a fee appraiser who will use comps from pretty much anywhere in the county, sometimes over in East Wenatchee and Douglas County. But they will adjust the market. We're actually adjusting the difference in the features.
You are beginning to speak a different language.
Yeah.
You realize that, right?
Yes.
I'm hearing the words, most of them in English, but it's starting to go over my head.
Yeah, well, I speak geek a lot.
Can you come up with a valuation for every piece of property in the county?
Yes.
And in fact, you have.
Yes.
There's no pieces of property with houses or barns sitting on them that have not been evaluated.
There are some exempt properties that we don't value. The only time we're required by law to value an exempt property, and an exempt property does not pay taxes. So it's your municipal buildings, the hospitals, the nonprofits, anything that is exempt per the state law. We're not required unless it's part of an annexation petition to value those properties. So we do have some that don't have any value on them at all.
Well, I guess there's a value there, but they don't pay a tax based on it, so we don't bother with it.
Correct. Actually, about 3-4 years ago, I cleared out all the values for the exempt properties because they were old and not updated. We weren't required to, and they were being used for a purpose other than taxation. So,
how long have you been the assessor?
Since 2011.
So you've seen some drastic changes in the market in the last couple of years.
We have. We've had some real ups and some real downs.
Now, the most valuable property in the county is located where? The highly assessed property.
Our top 10 taxpayers, Stimelt, obviously, is one of our biggest ones. Alcoa used to be one of our biggest.
Oh, we're talking about corporations, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Alcoa still owns that property or not?
They do. And whether it's corporate or, you know, residential or commercial, it's all taxed at the same levy rate. So it all goes into the same big pot when we're doing levies.
I wonder if everyone knows that. In fact,
They do now.
Do you labor under the apprehension that not everybody in the world knows what you're up to?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I actually hold about 8 community meetings every year. I go out to the public and invite them to these meetings to ask questions and go through this process so that they know what we do. Because our department does a lot more than just assessments. And I think a lot of people don't know that. We calculate the levy rates every year for every taxing district. We do all the property ownership changes and the name changes on the web. We do all of the lot divisions, all the plats, short plats.
What's a plat?
It's a big parcel of land that's divided into individual building lots.
Okay.
So we do all of that. We control the GIS layer for the most part.
You have to run for re-election. Isn't it odd to be elected to this position? It seems like you would get the smartest person you could find who went to Assessor University.
Well, you know, oddly enough, I try to hire the smartest people that I've ever met.
There you go.
It helps. It is a little bit unique that it's an elected position because just like any of the other electeds in the courthouse now, we are working professionals. You have to have some level of expertise in the field.
I would think you'd have to have an extraordinary level of expertise.
Yeah, to be able to run that department and do all of the required elements by the state under the RCWs, you have to have a working knowledge of everything that office does.
Well, a lot of people that work on our behalf for state and local governments have great skills that don't necessarily require being elected to office for them to work on our behalf.
Correct.
But you do. How come?
The position itself is an elected position. So I just happen to be fortunate enough to have the background in both land use and math and statistics that just is a perfect fit for this office.
And how many times have you run for re-election?
I was appointed in 2011, ran for the unexpired term in 2012, and then ran again in 14.
Yeah,
well,
okay.
I think it was a two-year unexpired term, so I ran again in 14.
So you're in the ballot right now, the ballots that are being mailed in as we speak.
Yes.
How many votes does it take to make you feel that you're doing a good job, that the people respond and love their assessor?
Well, you know, not everybody loves the assessor because it's a very personal issue when it comes to taxes and affordability.
And you do send those love letters.
And I do send the love letters. But my counterpart in the treasurer's office also sends out love letters.
Yeah.
He sends out the
with
tax
less
bills.
With less love, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I totally understand that I have a certain sector of our community that are not big fans of mine because of the job that I do. And
we want to be able to own a property and improve it without paying anybody.
Well, wouldn't we all like that?
That's what our dream, and our dream keeps getting interrupted by real life.
Right. Well, when we need to be able to pay for our essential services.
Now, I own this building, let's say, and it's pretty much the same as it was last year, but I did make some improvements that I had to make to the HVAC system and the roof and maybe the sidewalk out in front. Does that change what I owe you?
It depends on what the improvements are. We typically don't look at plumbing or HVAC issues like that because overall they don't add that much. They're very costly to do the improvements, but they don't add that much to the value of the structure if it's sold.
So if I improved it in some way with a major remodel, that would affect it?
Right, or if you added on or added a second story or re-roof, sometimes will add a lot of value.
Now, it was worth X amount before we did all that work. How do you determine the new value? Do you have to do a walkthrough or look at the plans, or how do you do it?
Well, if there hasn't been anything done, then what we do is look at the market. All right, we have a commercial team that looks at commercial structures like this. We look at the market, and if there hasn't been any activity in the market, the value of the property may actually go down a little bit because you're picking up a year of depreciation.
How much does it depreciate in a year if I don't make an improvement?
Typically, the depreciation, you get a year of depreciation for every 2 years of life. That's an average. It's the life of the structure. And the depreciation really depends on the value of the structure.
So it varies, too.
It does. We have schedules for that.
Schedules. Now it sounds like the IRS.
It's my geek speak.
I know. I felt a cold chill when you said schedule. Well, let's talk about what we're calling this is the annual reevaluation that everyone goes through. Yes or no?
Yes. Yeah. Everyone received a notice from me in, June. The beginning of June, we sent that out. So everyone gets an annual reevaluation notice.
And when you say everyone, how many corporations and individual property owners do you have to contact when you do something like this?
I sent out just north of 44,000 notices.
So there are 44,000 property owners within the county, commercial or corporate.
And that includes personal property accounts also.
Right. And for the most part, that's the way we finance the workings of the ongoing workings of the county?
Actually, it's only a portion of the funding that goes to the county. If you look at your tax bill, a very small portion of that comes back to Chelan County. A very large portion of it goes to the state school and the new tax everyone saw last year, the state school 2 tax. And then it's divided up between the other taxing districts that your property lies within.
And of all the changes that have been witnessed by you and the property owners in the county, one of the things that they have to live with is the fact that there's no vacancies. There's no room. If you're selling a house, it goes in a hurry. If you're renting an apartment, it goes in a hurry. If you're doing anything to do with real estate, it seems to turn over in a big hurry. So you got to keep track of all the new owners, and I'm sure there's a lot of them.
Yes, we have a stack every single morning of deeds that were recorded the day before that we have to put into our system to keep track of the new owners. And it is difficult in a market like this where, and I have heard that it's turning into, the tide is turning and it's going to look like it may turn to more of a buyer's market. But right now it's a seller's market, which is keeping the values up high.
Well, I thought it was just going to keep going up too, as well, I mean. But it turns out that the homes in Seattle are starting to sell below list price for the first time in 5 years.
Yeah, but we don't know if they're listing high because they were in a seller's market or, I mean, there's several factors that could go into that. What we're seeing is things are still selling quickly and they're selling for asking price.
So it's a seller's market.
Yes, but it's starting to stabilize. So we really don't see, and we may have some real estate agents that disagree with me on this, but we're not seeing a whole lot of bidding wars anymore. It's slowing down.
No deals made in the driveway.
Right. Right. But the market is still strong. It's just not a battle like it was.
Is it a strong market when there's a shortage of everything and things sell quickly?
Oh, sure.
Is that a realistic market?
Yeah. You know, it's basic supply and demand. Yeah.
There's very little supply, but there's certainly a lot of demand.
Right. Right. And yeah. We've got some new multifamily coming on that hopefully will help alleviate some of the pressure on the rentals.
You mean being constructed?
Yes. Yeah. And we also have it's not really a problem, but it seems to be driving the rest of the market. The entry-level homes at between $150,000 and $250,000are hard to find.
Yeah.
They sell really fast, and they're driving the market because they're selling for such a high dollar value.
Encouraging other people to get in. Well, let's sell now. It's never going to get better, right?
Right, right.
And there's some truth to that, but there's also a fallacy to that, too. You've probably seen a lot of markets that weren't ever going to get better that did get better, given time.
Yeah, we haven't experienced that. But, I mean, our market's been very strong. Even when we had the downturn after 2008, 2009, we had some land values up in Lake Chelan virtually cut in half. But we've recovered from that, and in some areas up in the Lake Wenatchee area, it's actually exceeded that now.
I'm not surprised. But I am surprised about what an assessor does, and I'm learning as we go here. We're talking to Dan Walter. She is your candidate for Chelan County Assessor. She's also your incumbent assessor and has been for some years now. When we come back, we'll find out where the market's hot, where it's not, and how that affects your taxes right after these words.
Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 12:36. My very special guest is Deanne Walter. She's the incumbent and also candidate for Chelan County Assessor. She is your assessor. She knows what your property is worth and she knows why it's worth that much. But I don't know these things, so that's why this is my education. And it's also yours because you can vote for Deanne on your ballot for the office of Chelan County Assessor, which is an elected position. Have you campaigned? Do you do bumper stickers and yard signs and barbecues?
To be perfectly honest, I haven't this year, and for a couple of reasons. One, there are so many other races out there that had more than two.
I've noticed.
And frankly, I didn't want to take up real estate or signs before the primary because they needed to narrow down all those other races. And I'm hoping that with the community meetings that I've done with the public, and I make our office very available to the public too, that people know who I am. And I just decided not to put up signs. Plus, my opponent wasn't putting anything up.
We reached out to your opponent. He has not responded yet, but he's welcome to. If you were an assessor doing a good job, how would the public know it? How can they judge their assessor is a real pro and just the person, just the woman they want for the position?
Well, I hope that anybody that has wanted to has had the opportunity to call our office, and I do answer the phones. I answer all the emails off the assessor website, and we make ourselves available. Customer service is a number one priority for my office.
And you have a fascinating job in that. I'm thinking of the scope of it. You know every piece of property and every owner in the county. That's really quite amazing.
Well, I know how to track them down.
You could find them within 10 minutes, it seems like.
Yeah, I can find them pretty quickly.
Who owns this spot of land? Well, I can tell you that.
Yes.
What do you do when the land is owned by the state or the county or the feds? Who pays you then? Nobody?
Nobody. They're exempt now. There are some state and federal lands.
I wonder who wrote that law.
Guess who?
Guess who?
state and federal lands are compensated through the PILT payment, so the payment in lieu of taxes. There's a formula for the state lands, and then the federal is a negotiated amount through our county commissioners go back to D.C., and they are very good at negotiating that so that we're not shorted every year.
Do people ever blame you for the rising prices? They say, well, you value the land at $500,000. It used to be $200,000. Now look what you've done to our neighborhood. Now we're in the millionaire's row.
Yeah, it happens a lot. One comment that I hear frequently is, oh, the county needed more money, so they upped my value. That couldn't be farther from the truth.
And the reason that that's wrong is?
Because we set our values based on the sales. And as I tell everybody in all of these meetings, a home is worth exactly what somebody is willing to pay for it.
Same rule for a quarterback.
Same rule for cars.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. They're worth exactly what somebody's willing to pay for it, and that creates a market if it's an arm's length transaction. So if it's not a foreclosure or a family sale or something that I can throw out and not count, then it goes into the mix for our sales analysis. So we do our sales analysis and set our values for all of the properties by June 1st. I don't have the budgets or the amount the taxing districts want to collect until November. They're not required to give them to me until the deadline is November 30th.
So this is your busy time of the year.
Yes, we are now working fast and furiously on the levies. But the values are already set. They're two processes that rely on each other, but they are very different. They're done at different times of the year. They're not based on one another when they're calculated. So
you have an interesting job. It's sort of you're an observer. You don't force the price of anything to go up or down. You don't value it beyond what Mother Nature values it at.
What the market will bear. And we're audited every year by the Department of Revenue, and they give us a ratio. Our county ratio right now, I think, is 87.3%. And I say in our public meetings that the law of averages comes into play. That ratio is based on the average ratio of all the properties that have sold, and that is the assessed value versus the sale price. So if we are at 100%, and the law requires us to be at 100% of fair market value, so our ratio is at 100%, that means that I've overvalued 50% of the properties in the county. And I can't in good conscience do that. So I keep our ratio down at about between 85 and 90%. And that means when I'm looking at this list of sold properties and their ratios, the assessed value versus their sale price, that I've only got maybe one or two that are right at or just slightly over 100%. Then I know that everybody else is falling right in line.
What's the biggest market changing thing? Is it corporations paying more for their land, or is it single family home owners coming from some other place willing to pay more for their land?
Yes.
Both?
A little bit of both.
Because we always hear about the market, we think about single-family homes.
Right, and that really is what drives it here in our valley, are the single-family homes, or the second homes being purchased from out-of-area.
Is that true? Is somebody forcing the price up by buying from out of town?
Sometimes that happens, but are they really forcing the price up? Because if somebody locally wants to move into that neighborhood, are they willing to pay that price? It's
a rhetorical question. Yeah,
yeah, it's all about...
This house is for sale. Anyone can buy it.
Willing buyer, willing seller. And so there are a fair amount of sales that happen via out-of-area owners coming in and buying second homes or relocating. And the values in our area may be a steal compared to where they're coming from.
In cities where property for single-family homes is very expensive, Paris, Tokyo, San Francisco, New York, strange things sometimes happen with commercial real estate. The prices get fluctuated because the companies are moving all the time to try and save money and try and get better square foot deals. Is that a problem or a feature in Wenatchee?
It's really not. Our commercial market here is pretty stable. We have a few hotel sales here and there. But by and large, the commercial values don't fluctuate that much.
People talk about growth all the time, but it's hard to manage growth, and it's hard to predict where it's going to happen. But there's not a lot of land in Chelan County for growth. Do you see it happening in Douglas County? And if so, are they prepared for it?
You know, what's interesting is Douglas County has the room to grow, whereas we don't because of all the state and federally owned lands. Only about 87% of our property in Chelan County is exempt. So it's state or federally owned, or it's owned by municipalities, our school districts, or the hospital, or whatnot. So we're limited on where we can grow. And you would think that that would push the sales over to Douglas County. And it does to some extent because they've got room to grow. But it's not alleviating our home prices.
We're still trapped by the market.
We're still trapped by the market.
The constraints. And yeah. What would break that? It would take
growth.
We'd take some noticeable.
We need more supply.
Yeah.
As long as demand is high and supply is low, our prices are going to remain high.
Do you find that the value of the property is choking off growth because it's an expensive game to play? You can't just buy a property and become part of the market because it's now an expensive commodity.
It is, but it's still happening. We've got plenty of developments going out. I see lots of them out in the Sunny Slope area and the south end of Wenatchee. They're just not huge developments. We don't have the space, the vacant land, to be doing 200 and 300 lot developments anymore.
Can anybody buy land from the state, from the feds who own the land around us? Did they ever sell parcels?
They do occasionally. It is far and few between. The land sales with the state typically are the other direction,
mm-hmm.
or the state is buying from private property, which is really tough because once you take that private property off the tax rolls, it shifts that tax burden to everybody else because the same amount of money is coming in. It's how it's distributed.
Is that what happened when trusts buy land?
Yes.
So it's good for the land, but somebody else to pick up the financial freight on the other end.
Right.
I make it sound like there's some mystery person who's just going to pay the bill.
Yeah, there's that money's got to come from somewhere, so it's just shifted to the other taxpayers in the county.
And how much money does that amount to every year? How much money?
We've taken about $123 million worth of property tax revenue. That doesn't come to the county. That's the total that goes out to all of the taxing districts.
That's Deanne Walter. She would know. She's the incumbent and the candidate for the Chelan County Assessor, and she is the assessor in the assessor's office. We'll come back to find out some more. It's a secret world. It's just like a secret society. I really like it. I like we're getting a glimpse into how we finally look behind the curtain. We see how the financial structure of the county is really fixed. Now I see. It's all becoming clearer now, he said unconvincingly. We'll be right back after this.
Your The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 12:51. I only have a few moments left with our very special guest, Deanne Walter. She's currently your Chelan County Assessor. She's the incumbent and also a candidate. It's an elected position, so in this election coming up on the 6th, that's so important to so many races. You can vote for or you can vote for her opponent, but you have to vote for the Chelan County Assessor. And now you have some idea why after our conversation. Are your practices ever questioned in terms of fairness, accuracy, reasonableness? Do people say, you got to be kidding?
Oh, sure.
How in the world did you come up with that number?
Oh, sure. And that's part of our job with customer service that I really focus on is to make sure that people are able to voice their concerns. And that we have staff available to explain the process to them and go through it. There's nothing that we use in our analysis that is not currently available to the public. We make sure that it's all on the website. We'll send them spreadsheets showing them our analysis. I want it to be an open and transparent process for the public.
And people have a lot more access to your office than they might imagine. You do public meetings.
I do 8 of them a year. And we talk about this process and then how the levies work and have plenty of time for people to ask questions. And then I try to include in the February tax statement, there's always a flyer where I give all 8 of the dates for those meetings in the different areas and answer a really good question that somebody maybe had asked the year before that would be informative for people to know, kind of a question and answer on the back of that.
I believe you are the first assessor I've ever talked to, so this is like uncharted territory, and I'm enjoying it far more than I expected because it's available information for everybody who ever owned property, but for the most part, we don't examine it very clearly or succinctly.
It's a very complicated process, both on the assessment end and on the levy end. But very worthwhile for the public to know how it works.
I'm sorry we're so short on time, Deanne, but now here's the time for you to ask the people of Chelan County for their vote.
Oh, thanks. I would like to continue in the capacity as your county assessor, and I would appreciate your vote. I've worked very hard to open up our office, provide those public meetings. I encourage people to attend, and I just would really appreciate everyone's vote to continue in that capacity.
Now you know what an assessor does, and now you know why they're on the ballot, and now you know why it's your turn to vote on the 6th of November, unless you've already done it, in which case, I salute you. Deanne Walter, thanks for coming in. We'll talk again sometime.
Thank
Fascinating.
You.
Michael Knight, this is News Radio 560 KPQ. The show is called The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda.